Do you want to take part in a Bible study that can help you understand the Bible better? Tune in to Glorious Morning every Thursday and Friday at 7:20 a.m. and on Maranatha Drive every Monday and Tuesday at 4 p.m. for an interactive Bible study. Through these studies, you can find answers for facing the issues and challenges you deal with every day. You can also find these studies on www.voiceofprophecy.com.
Oh, yes, that's where you can find all these conversations as we study together. Welcome to another segment where we go deeper into what God has said we should know, right? And we turn it into a Bible course. Not only that, a certifiable Bible course. So if you want to get yourself a certificate in Bible courses, join us on the Voice of Prophecy study, and you heard how you can do that. For today, our conversation is centering around the joy of the second chance. Now, have you ever been in a situation where you need to receive a second chance, right? When you thought you were all out of chances and then they give you another one? Yeah, today's lesson begins with a lovely story of a U.S. senator and his own experience of what second chances is all about. And so do join us as we study together. And leading out in this segment is our Elder Moyo. Babutumisani, good afternoon to you and welcome to the MD.
Good afternoon, Derek. How are you doing?
No, we're doing quite well. And your side, how's Malawi, the warm heart of Africa?
Yeah, it's rightly called the warm heart of Africa because right now it's back to being warm.
Oh, okay. It's really warm. I hope not too warm, at least.
Not yet. It's going to get there, but it's all right. And I hope all is well on your end.
No, we are all right. The side, the Lord is keeping us. The Lord is taking care of us. And so we appreciate it. Thank you, by the way, for availing yourself to take us through this study. Thank you once again. Let's jump into the conversation for today, the joy of second chances. The senator, please talk to us about this story and maybe summarize the lesson, what it's all about, with this testimony here from Senator Harold Hughes. Talk to us a bit about that.
So I love the way that you brought up Harold Hughes and the idea that this is a man who was who served as U.S. senator. Mm-hmm. Actually, he came up as the 36th U.S. senator for the state of Iowa.
Okay.
But what's very important is, yes, he had many accolades, and you know how it is, Derek. There's many things that we count as being important during our lives. But then for Harold Hughes, he got many accolades as being the senator and all the things that he did while serving as senator. And his entire political career. But it was only after when you talk about his greatest achievement, at least according to himself, would be after he had given his life over to Christ, when he had committed his life to Christ.
Wow.
At that point, there was a certain point where he was sitting at home. It was nighttime, and you know the everyone else had basically gone off to bed. You know those moments in the day where everything has now started to calm down.
Yes.
And it was just him alone with the Bible in the living room, and he's studying out his Bible. And as he's reading, he you know that feeling you get that I think someone is watching me. And so he looks up from his Bible. He looks up and he sees his two daughters. And one of them, the youngest, named Carol, was looking straight at him. And he says, "Girls, what is it that you want?" And they just said very simply, said, Dad, we just came over to kiss you goodnight." And for him, his eyes started to well up with tears because he started to think about all the times that he had been so busy. And besides being busy, he had also been so he had also had his own struggles. Yes, he was a senator. Yes, he had so many things that people looked up to him for, but he had a struggle himself. He had a struggle with alcohol, and in that struggle everything else around him had become so blurry, and everything had become so how can I put it, it was not as clear. But when he gave his life over to Christ, he was delivered from that struggle. It was still something that he knew was there, but then with the power of God, he knew he could overcome, and he did overcome. And as he saw the eyes of his children, he said, now it clearly spoke out to him that, oh, wait a minute, this is what I've been missing, just the times when My children were no longer scared of me, where my children were would not look at me with frightened eyes, but with eyes so clear and wanting my presence. And he was like, this is the greatest achievement that I've ever come to.
Yeah.
So I like how you asked the question, have we ever felt a time when we feel like we need a second chance, but we know we do not, but we know we don't deserve it.
We
know that we don't deserve it. We've done so much wrong. And this, and maybe for other people around the world, it feels like, to everyone else, it's like, no, but you have everything together. But you yourself know and feel that, no, but in this part of my life, I have failed. I have, and especially in my relationship with God, I feel like maybe I have done so much wrong that I've gone too far. Remember, this is something that God actually calls out to us, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, where he says that all who have come to Christ are now new. You are now a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And this is the thought that comes forward to us, that when we feel that we don't deserve a second chance, that's the reason why there is grace. Grace is not deserved. It is the mercy of God, the power of God, not just to be, not just to claim that we are children of God, but then given the power to be sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
So, yes, we all need that second chance, but with God, he doesn't just say, you might get a second chance. He says, here is a guaranteed new life. The question is, are we willing to open our arms to that embrace when he says, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice, then, and you open the door, then I will come in. The question is, are we like children? Do we feel like we want to receive that embrace? And if we do, then that opportunity is open for us even today.
It's available. Ah, that's profound, man. That's profound. And I think one thing I pick up from the story that you just shared of the senator, it reminds me of John chapter 10 and 10, right? I came that I might give them life and life in abundance. And
in abundance.
Peter at one point asks of Christ, what do we gain for us who've left everything and followed you? And Christ promises life. And usually people, when they speak life in the Christian sense, it's always in the year after, right? It's eternal life, and then it's in the future. And Christ's answer to Peter says, no, not only in the year after, but even in this world. And that is seen in the story of the senator, where not only does he get a second chance at life in Christ, but his family, it's almost like he's given another chance with the family again in this world. And I think that's profound. That's profound.
And you know, if I may add a little something to that, later on in the life, not only in his family, later on in life, Harold Hughes went on to actually fund so many foundations that were to do with helping those who are chemically dependent or those who have any kind of addiction. So it didn't, his second chance wasn't just for him. He now extended his hand out to others who wanted a second chance. And he said, you know what? I want to give that to us as well. I want us to share in that second chance.
Profound. Profound. Now, somebody may be tuning in and saying, you know what? I want that kind of an experience that the senator had. I want that second chance. Talk to us about how Christ gives second chances.
So, I would love to turn straight to the Bible and how God gives us, how Jesus gives us a second chance.
Mm-hmm.
When we go to Romans 6:23, it says that the gift of God, well, we know that the punishment for sin is death.
Yeah.
But then it goes on to say the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, remember, there is a penalty for sin.
Yeah.
But Christ paid that penalty on our behalf.
Mm. Mm.
Now, maybe, and I know maybe we say this so often that we forget that, you know, how do I do it? Are there steps that I can take? Is it really just that easy? And the answer is that it is just as easy, not because we say it, but because God is the one who says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, how does that happen? Is it just a prayer? It is really just a prayer away. Being able to say that, Lord, I have my burdens. Honestly, I've probably wasted all my chances. But you say that there's another chance. Lord, please, I accept. I accept your second chance. I accept your third, your fourth, your fifth. But Lord, I need that other chance. And that's where the thing is, just to be able to say in a prayer. And I don't know if we're allowed to, Derek, but if we are allowed to, if we'd be able to walk through a prayer together when we're wrapping this up.
Certainly, certainly. Imagine if they were not allowing us to. That would be quite odd.
No, I know. That would be strange. And, you know, many times we take it for granted that we can.
Yeah.
But,
no,
you know,
certainly.
There's many of us who probably never had that conversation with God the same way that we should. And so... that's the thought. If we're allowed to, now that we're allowed to, let us take all the opportunities able to come forward to Him.
Oh, yes. I am reminded of the promise. I mean, that's the invitation coming through Hebrews chapter 4, right? I think it's verse 16 to say, you know, let's come boldly to the throne of grace, because God has given us that opportunity. And as we are preparing to take that opportunity, I don't want us to exclude somebody who might be tuning in and saying, no, 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 I hear you. I hear you, Dumisani. I hear you, Derek. You guys are speaking, but my case is just too much, man. It's done. My chances, I've used them all up. I'm just, even God has written me off. Is there such a case where it's too hard or too impossible, too far gone, that God can't assist and save?
So I'd like to take the words that God... So I'll give you two reasons why I say that there is no case too far gone.
Okay.
I'll give you two cases. One that we find in the Bible, the man who was also crucified next to Christ. This man, when he said that, you know what, I'm basically dying here and I'm done. But in his mind, he realized that I have need for a savior.
Yeah.
And he says, but Lord, and he didn't even know exactly how to give a long prayer. All he said was just, when you come into your kingdom, Lord, remember me.
Yeah.
And in that case, then Christ gave him that promise that day to say that you will be with me in paradise. And the idea being then that right then and there, the promise was given. And when Christ returns, that thief on the cross will be resurrected. He will be in paradise. So we are given that, and we have that case. The second case is my own. And I say this from this point of view. You may think just because I'm speaking, I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, they picked him because he's perfect. I'm not perfect. I have gone through phases where I thought I have walked away from God and God would never have me back. But God has allowed it that even now, by God's grace, I can speak to other people of God, of God's saving power.
Amen.
So believe me, when I say this, it may be that people can argue with arguments and to say that grace is not enough. But believe me, when God says that He can save to the uttermost, I have been lost, but today I can say, I am free, I am saved. I have fought addictions because Christ has fought in me to overcome. So there's those cases that I can put forward straight away.
Amen.
And believe me, if there was hope for me, there's hope for all who would call on His name.
You know, what does Paul say? Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You know, we can.
Chief of sinners.
Yeah, I remember I like how you put it across that, you know, you can make an argument to say, no, you know what, you're not really understanding how to interpret scripture when you speak about how He saved others or how He can save me. But no one can ever argue your testimony. It's your story. And you're saying God did it for me, and I'm sure what He did for me, He can do for you as well. beautifully put, and thank you so much for that testimony. Maybe just talk to us quickly, the significance of being invited to Jesus, perhaps, versus being taken by force or being forced into a relationship with him. How does it put like the honors or the responsibility of response on us rather than on God, this idea of invitation?
So I want us to picture it this way, that it, I think we'll take it from what you said in John chapter 10, verse 10.
Mm-hmm.
It's the thief that comes in to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yeah.
But when God comes, he says that I have come to give life. But remember, God is not a rapist. God is a gentleman. He's the one who says, I gave you free will that you may be able to love. Whatever it is you want to love, you can love. And he's like, I've given you that power of free will, that even though I could probably make us all robots, I want you to be able to serve and be able to love. So when he gives us free will, it's with the idea that when you choose, and you choose with all your heart to be with God, then it is now your choice, and not by force, neither is it by some kind of force of punishment. That tells us of the character of God, that he is a God of love, a God of mercy, but also a God who says that I want you to choose. And this is the reason why I love the God of the Bible. He has all right, because by redemption and also by creation, we are his. He could easily put a stamp on us and say that, no, you belong to me and that's final. But he says, no, I want you to choose to belong to me. And when you do, I will dine with you. I will abide with you. And I will build not only a relationship, but a purpose for you. And when you find that love in me, you will find your identity in me. And all that purpose, whether it's the lowest of the lowest or the highest of the highest, you will find fulfillment because you have found yourself, you have found your identity in me. So that just shows you what kind of relationship and what kind of God is pursuing a relationship with us, a God who respects our free will and our choices.
Yeah, profound. And I think they that kind of a story, that kind of an invitation, that kind of an allowance to say, I'm here and I'm willing, but will you allow me? Will you let me? Such a gentleman. I love that. God is such a gentleman. Thank you so much, Babu Moyo. I'm going to invite you and allow you to just pray for somebody perhaps who's saying, I don't know what to say, like you said, but I'm willing and I'm here. And I say, yeah, whatever you want, Christ, I want to give you my life. Please give me that second chance. Please pray with us.
All right. Let's pray. Our kind and loving Father in heaven, we come before you now, not because we know exactly what to say, but even when I came to you, all I said was that if you will have me, then please take me. Father, it is with the same prayer that I come to you now for that child, for that daughter, for that son who you have been longing to welcome back home, that we give our lives to you. We commit our life to you. Even if it's broken and it's not everything that we would have hoped it could be that we could give you, but as it is, Lord, just as I am, please receive us all into your glory. And let us know that we are with you, that you are with us, and that you abide with us even now. Lord, even as we go forward, help us step by step and moment by moment, and help it to be that we would help others to find the same peace you are instilling in us right now. Thank you, Lord, for the merits of your Son, Jesus Christ, and thank you for his blood. We thank you for his life, and we thank you for his power to take us through the rest of every moment that we have now. We ask all this according to your will and in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Moyo. May God bless you. May God bless you. Until tomorrow, keep well.
You have a blessed time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.